For you are worthy of praise. We lift up one voice. We lift up one song that our God is worthy. That our God is God. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus, for redeeming us, for taking us who were no people and making us your people, for taking our broken, ruined lives, making us whole, using us as vessels for you. Lord, thank you for being in our midst today, Lord. Thank you for these worship teams who have led us into your presence. We bless you, Lord God, for you are worthy. You are holy. Lord, we bless you. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I have a few announcements here. First of all, if you're visiting with us, I want to welcome you. If you haven't turned in a visitor's card ever, there's one in the seat back in front of you. You can turn that into the Welcome Center on your way out. We do have a gift for you. We want to get to know you better. For those of you who call Mount Zion your home, we want to thank you for your faithfulness and your offerings. We are on budget year to date. We're ahead of budget in our fiscal year, but you may recall that we need to be ahead of budget because we have this building project that we're pretty excited about. We need a space for our children's ministry, and if you've been around at the end of this service, you will see that we're a little crowded in our foyer. We need a fellowship area. And we've got plans for that. You can talk to us if you need more information. We had a meeting back in January that many of you were at. If you didn't make that meeting and you still want to talk to us about this building project, whether you're against it, you're for it, whatever, please talk to Pastor Dave or me. And especially if you have any questions, we'd like to know your opinions, your feelings, and we'd like to know that you're behind us or that you're not. So I know some of you are. That's good. That's good. So I want to share with you a giving opportunity that we talked about back in January, and this is what is called a limited note offering. Okay, it's basically a bond. It's an investment where you can loan us money. Okay, we've done this before when we put the parking lot in. The way it works is this. We pay you a better percentage than you're probably getting. You know, it's equivalent with the best CDs you can get. You loan us money, and we pay less to you than we would pay to a bank. And we're much more comfortable borrowing money from you than we would be borrowing money from a bank. So it's a limited note offering. The reason it's limited is you have to consider yourself a member of this church, and you have to live in the state of Wisconsin. There's cards out on the card rack that explain this all, the different terms, the different minimum amounts. And if you're interested in participating in that, you can grab a card. It may explain it all to you. Otherwise, talk to me, okay, because I understand it. So if you have any questions, I'll answer those questions, okay? We have a ladies' conference coming up. A women's retreat. It's April 12th through the 14th. It's going to be in Williams Bay at the Conference Point Center. It's a beautiful spot. This year, everybody and everything is going to be in one building. It's a new building. It's really nice. So it's like a hotel. So you don't have to walk down the hall to the bathroom as some of you did last year. You don't have to walk through the rain to the meetings because they're all going to be in one place. That is April 12th through 14th. There's ladies out there at the table today to sign you up for that, and I just want to encourage you to come, okay? Husbands, encourage your wives to come. There'll be a teaching by Jana Diaz. Not quite as much as last year, so if you felt like you didn't have time to hang with your friends and talk, there'll be a little more time for fellowship this year. A lot of prayer has gone into this. Please come. That's April 12th through 14th. That's for ladies. Guys, you can't come. You can stay home with the kids, though. That'd be great. Next weekend, we have Jeff Grinnell coming. How many were here when he spoke last time? All right. Not too many of you. Okay. He did a fantastic job. And he'll be speaking on Saturday night and Sunday at all our services, so we want you to be there next weekend. But on Saturday, we have this parent seminar. So if you're a parent of a teenager or somebody approaching teenage, so that's like if it's a girl 9 to 19 and if it's a boy like 14 to 27, I don't know. Those are teenage, okay. I mean, I went through 35 years of teenagers at my house, so, you know, I know. Okay. This man and Josh Ernst, who's coming with him, they know a lot about today's generation and ministering to teens and raising teens. And you will learn a lot if you come to this seminar next Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. It includes lunch. It's all free. We do need you to sign up. Today's the deadline to sign up if you want lunch. Okay, if you can't commit to coming today and you still want to come, please do come on Saturday. We just can't promise you a free lunch, okay? No free lunch if you don't sign up today. All right, but otherwise, please come if you have teenagers or children who are approaching teenage under the parameters I gave you. All right, we have a video. I almost forgot. We have a video from Jeff.
Mount Zion Christian Church, how are you? This is Jeff Grinnell from Minneapolis. I cannot wait to be with you in just a few short weeks. We have a great weekend planned on March 16 and March 17, Saturday and Sunday. Let me tell you what's going on Saturday. We're doing an Equip Parents Seminar on Saturday morning. There's going to be food there, people coming from the community, you, me, and we're going to do parenting skills and role play and talk about Gen Z and how to raise them in this culture, right? Then, for all the weekend services, I'm going to be preaching at Mount Zion. So would you bring a friend? Bring them on Saturday. Bring them to the parenting seminar. All of us could use some training for raising our kids, right? And then one of the services on the weekend, you don't want to miss that opportunity because you never know what's going to happen, right? So, Mount Zion, I cannot wait to see you in just a few short weeks on March 16th and 17th. God bless.
All right, Rob's going to come. Rob, if you don't know him, he's been the principal of our school for the last couple of years, and he's been a teacher at our school for a lot of years, grew up in this church, and just welcome him. Rob Nicklinghoff.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. So this is Christian Ed Weekend, and I don't want anybody to feel like if you don't go to Mount Zion Christian School that you're in trouble, because you're not, because this is a story and a message that's more than the school. I'm going to be talking about the school and how much I love it and how awesome it is, but this message is for everybody, okay? So don't turn off because it's the school. I'm going to start with the school verse for this year. It's Luke 4:8. Jesus answered, "It's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." I want us as a school, as a community, as a church to serve God. What I've done this year is I've taken that serve him only and made it my email salutation. You know, I send off something and at the end I say, instead of, you know, thanks or see, I say serve him only. Because I want to remember that all the time. Why are we doing this? It's for God. Why are we doing this? It's for the school. Why are we doing this? It's for the church. But it's for him first. Amen. Serve him only. So in January, the school board got together and we had a meeting. And it was going to be a, what are we going to do in the future meeting? And I said, yeah, we're going to have a fun time. We're going to talk about bigger classrooms and buildings and all sorts of fun stuff. And we sat down and one of the board members said, first, we're going to start with, what are we doing? How do we do it? And why do we do it? And I went, okay, here we go. So I'm going to tell you what we talked about. What do? We train up children. We train them up for God. We pray for them. We have a motto, it's preparing for life, service, and eternity. So we reiterated that. Why do we do this? We want the kids to leave here ready. Ready for high school, ready for college, ready. Ready for eternity. And of all those things, that's the most important one, right? Where are you going when you die? See, when the kids walk in here to Mount Zion Christian School, they're in elementary and junior high school. And very few know what they want to do when they grow up. So we've got to be prepared for anything. Doctors and lawyers to welders and architects and whatever they want. So we have to prepare. So what do? We work on preparing them. Some students have come to me in the last short couple of months, and they've told me that they were prepared for high school. I had one at the barn dance say, "Mr. Mick, thanks." And I said, for what? Because I like to know why I'm being, you know, poured on gratitude. And he said, "Because I'm ready for high school. You gave enough homework." I said, "Yeah!" I've got three daughters that have gone through Mount Zion. One's a senior in college, Geneva. She just told me last night, she says, "Dad, we're in this advanced chemistry lab, and we were doing this thing, and I hadn't talked about it since eighth grade." Yeah, all right. That's so cool to me that we were talking in eighth grade about stuff that you're doing as a senior in college. It just floats my boat. I was talking to Gloria, my middle daughter. She's going to school to be a doctor of physical therapy, and she says, "Dad, my roommates want to be teachers." I said, "Oh, that's cool. I like that." She said, "Dad, but they couldn't figure out how to do this math problem." I said, "Oh, so?" She said, "So I helped them because I learned how to do that in third grade." And I went, "Yeah." I said, "Are you going to be a teacher now?" She says, "Oh, no, I'm staying in physical therapy, man." I said, "Okay, that's fine. That's fine." But it just really hit me that these people have come to me, and okay, my two daughters, I went to them, but they've told me that what they're learning here is important. And it doesn't just go for here. If you're not at Mount Zion, what you're learning today is important for the future. I tell my kids all the time in class, I say, "You learn for today because tomorrow you'll need it." I had a student last week who is not doing his math, and I said, "You need to do your math." I sat him down. He's not in my class yet. I sat him down and I said, "You've got to get your math done this year, because when you're in my class next year, you need those basics." See, we need to learn today because tomorrow we have to be ready for it. Some of the kids who go to Mount Zion are going to go on and do all sorts of different things. One that I know of is a follower of Jesus. First and foremost, I love that. She's now a board member. She's a graduate of Mount Zion. She's a board member for the school now. She's a mom and she's a school supporter. How awesome is that? To have somebody who's gone through the school and is so excited about the school, she's supporting the school, and now her kids are here. And we've got second generation Mount Zion people. I love it. That's so cool. There's all sorts of careers that have come out of Mount Zion. Like I said earlier, there's welders and caregivers and all things. So it's not like this is a, you have to come here and go to college. You have to come here and go to trade school. No, you go here and you're prepared. I love that. I also like to hear from some of the missionaries that come from Mount Zion. To me, that's such a blessing that they really have taken what we've said to heart, and they've said, "We're going to serve Jesus with our life out in the mission field." That's cool. But even the ones who don't go out on the mission field are still serving Jesus. And that's awesome. So that's the what we do. How do we do it? Well, we're a school. So we follow a standard curriculum just like any school. But we weave Jesus into everything. See, in math class, we use in the upper grades, we use a secular math book. But you know, I get to talk to the kids all the time that math is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so is God. He doesn't change. So when you learn 1 plus 1 in first grade, you're going to know how 1 plus 1 works in eighth grade, in high school, and beyond. We prepare them for high school, for college, hopefully for the future. We give them homework. We go through the curriculum. We try to get them to engage so that they're ready for the future. I'm stealing this from my daughter's college. He said, we teach our kids that the created world is created by God. Oh, and is that a difference? I love that difference. We have a created world that we get to see. We take the kids every other year, the seventh and eighth grade, to the Creation Museum. We get to look at the evidence. And when we do that, we say, this is what we see, and this is how we interpret it through the light of Scripture. Oh, how beautiful that is. When we study creation, we worship the Creator. Oh, and that is important. So we're in our meeting, and I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's talk about the building. And then somebody said, well, the most important question is, why? Why do we do it? There's other schools around. There's other Christian schools around. Why do we do it? And one of the school board members said, because she said her son helped her, a kid in my class, hallelujah. She said, we train up discipled kids who love God on their own. And I just swelled with pride. I was like, ah, yeah. And one of the other board members said, nope. What? Are you kidding me? No. I said, what do you mean? He said, we do it for the glory of God. And I said, oh, you're right. It was a total mind changer for me. See, we use the curriculum for the glory of God. We train up disciples for the glory of God. We go down to the lunchroom for the glory of God. We have recess and PE and music and art for the glory of God. That is why we do it. It isn't to have trained up disciples, because other schools can do that. Church can do that. Sunday school can do that. We do it for the glory of God. And hopefully those other places are too. But that's why we do it. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whew. I like to ask my kids, what's their heart condition? What does that mean, with their heart condition? I'm in seventh grade. I can climb a mountain. I'm no problem. My heart condition's great. You're the old guy. I'm like, thank you. I know. But what's your heart condition? I tell them a story about a two-year-old girl who was sitting in the back seat of a car, strapped into her car seat, and they're driving along, and all of a sudden she's Houdini'd her way out, and she's standing on her car seat. The dad sees her in the rearview mirror, pulls the car over, and says, you have to sit. She says, I don't want to. He pushes her into the seat, ties her up tight, gets in the car, and starts driving. They get a little bit down the road, and the little girl in the back seat goes, I might be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. What's the heart condition? Ouch. So, then I ask, why do you go to church? Why do you come to school? Why do you do your homework? Why do you help clear the dishes? Is it because you're being forced to? Or is it because you're serving God and your heart condition is right? So I'm going to ask you guys some questions, and the answer is for the glory of God. So when I ask these questions, I want you to answer me. I want to hear you today, okay? So why do you get up in the morning? For the glory of God. Why do you go to work? For the glory of God. Why do you go to church? For the glory of God. Why do you stand to worship? For the glory of God. Why do you read your Bible? For the glory of God. Why do you eat? For the glory of God. And boy, that cheeseburger is great. And boy, God did some awesome things with tastes and flavors, but I still do it for Him. Why do you tithe? For the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Amen. So, Parents, you have a role in this. And if you're not a parent of a school-age kid, that's okay. You've got roles in this. Well, how are you going to run your life? I believe the parents have to be consistent, they have to be loving, and they have to be an example. I've talked about two of my daughters. I have another one. She's a senior in high school. She does not like school. She's a great student. She's got a good GPA, and she doesn't want to go. So we told her, you have to go to school. She says, why? I said, because if you don't go to school, they'll put me in jail. She said, oh. So one day, a couple months ago, I was driving her to school, and she looks over at me, and she says, you're welcome. I like to be told why I'm being thanked. I also want to be known why I'm saying you're welcome, you know. So I turn and I said, for what? And she says, you're still not in jail. Oh, boy. We have 50 more days of school and she graduates. You can pray for me and we will be having a party. Parents, we have to be consistent and loving and we have to be an example. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. How often do we walk along the road? I don't do much walking with my children. If we go someplace, I stick them in the car and we go. The week of 9/11, 2001, my youngest was 2 weeks old, and the church had a zoo trip that day. So I took the older two, who were very young, preschool age, put them in the car, and I took the two older ones to the zoo to go with the church. And as we were going, I was praying. And one of them said, Dad, why are you praying so much? And I said, I'm praying because I love our country, and I want this country to be safe for you when you get older. And she said, oh, should we pray for the president? Yes, we should, honey. And we prayed for the president while driving down the road. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to be consistent. We have to be loving. We have to be an example. Kids learn by seeing more than hearing what they're told. When I was young, my mom went to, we went to this camp, and there was this tape that we got from the singers there. It was the Matt and Audrey or the Steve and Lisa of the camp. They were John and Diane. I loved these two. They did puppets. They sang. It was totally amazing. And they had a song. I'm not going to sing it to you. Don't worry. But in this song, it says, impress it on your children. Get the message through by doing what is right. There's a chorus into something else and maybe a bridge. I don't know. I'm not good at that. And then it says, they, the kids, can't see the Heavenly Father, but Dad, they're watching you. Whew. This is before I was in seventh grade because I remember listening to this song on the radio that was in the house that we lived in when we moved out in seventh grade. So it was a long time ago. I remember my mom loved that song. I loved that song. It was great, and it means we have to be an example. So, with a full disclaimer and disclosure that this is my story and it's not condemnation towards anyone or anything, I loved my mother to bits. I want to tell you my story. My mom was a smoker. She smoked all her life. She always told me she wanted to quit. She tried a couple times, never did. And she'd stand there smoking, and she would say, do as I say, not as I do, don't smoke. Okay, Mom, that sounds like a great plan. I've got two brothers. We all got to be past college age, and some of us were married, and my mom came up to me one time, and she says, I'm so proud of you. And again, I'm like, oh, why? Because I want to know. She says, you don't smoke. You did as I said, not as I did. I said, Mom, that's not why. She said, you smoke? I said, no. I said, Mom, it's what you did that made me not want to smoke. And she says, what do you mean? I said, Mom, your bedroom was right next door to mine. I heard you coughing all night long. I didn't want that for me. See, it's the example, good or bad, that we give to our kids. Hopefully, our kids are smart enough to learn from our bad examples. Kids, it's your turn. See, it's not all just about your parents. You have a role in this too. Because if it was up to me, and it's not, God is in control, I would make it really easy. I'm a Christian, therefore you're a Christian. We're all going to heaven. Let's go. Woohoo! Right? Wouldn't that be easy and nice? That's not the way it works. See, kids, you have to cultivate a desire for truth and for learning. You have to build that relationship with God for yourself. It's not about your parents. It's not about your grandparents. It's not about your aunts and uncles. It's your relationship with God. I don't know what you want to do when you grow up. How much effort are you going to put into school, into learning, to figuring out how things work and why you have to do the homework and the way you're being told to do it? See, that's your job. Adults, by the way, this still works for us. The more you learn in your job, the better it's going to go. I love the statement that says, God doesn't have grandchildren. See, we've all been adopted in ourselves. It's not because of my mom or my dad or anybody else. It's because I was saved through faith. So I asked the kids in my class, Mount Zion Christian School, so I know it's a special microcosm of the world. I ask them, who's been saved? And all the hands go up. And I go, oh, yay, that's so cool. And I say, when were you saved? I want to hear your testimony. And they say, well, I've been saved since I was 2. I've always been a Christian. And that concerns me just a little bit. I'm not saying that that can't happen, but it concerns me just a little bit. So I say, okay, would you ask Christ into your life today if you hadn't already been saved? Knowing what you know now, would you do that? And it gets real silent in the room. And then I say, are you living like you have Christ in your life today? And it gets really, really silent in the room. And then I tell them my story. I was 6 years old, and I'd grown up in a house where my dad was Catholic, my mom was Lutheran. Oh boy, one aunt and uncle went to the Bible church, one aunt went to the free church, one of them went to this church du jour. It was all great. My mom and dad, when they got married, being Lutheran and Catholic, had an agreement. All the boys that were born in the family would be Catholic. All the girls born in the family would be Lutheran. I have two brothers. My dad wins, and he'll tell you about it. 6 years old, my aunt came over, and she says to me, you have to have Jesus in your heart, or you'll go to hell. What? Freaked me out. I hustled down to the basement. I wedged myself right between the deep freeze and the concrete wall. And I said, Jesus, I know you're there because I do, but I have no idea what she meant. You've got to be in my heart. And I looked down at my chest and I went, I don't know how that's going to work. So that day I asked Jesus into my heart. No, I didn't. It was fire insurance. And that is all it was. I was pleasing my aunt. That's not how you're saved. I was in fourth grade. I couldn't even sleep at night. I was so afraid to die because I knew that as soon as I died, I was going straight to hell. There was no pass and go. I was done for. I tried to figure out how I could never have been born. It would have been better if I hadn't been born, because then I wouldn't have to worry about it. If I wasn't born, there'd be no hell to worry about. Woohoo! But I'm already born, so now I have to deal with this thing. This is what's going through my fourth grade head. I had a hamster that I had gotten in first grade. My hamster died. And that gave me a little strength. I thought, well, if the hamster can die, so can I. How stupid. I would rub my feet raw at night because I was so worried about hell. I couldn't sleep. That summer was the first summer that I went to that camp that I was talking about. And I wish that I could tell you what the counselor said the first night of camp. All I know is that at dusk, at the sunset, the counselor, JB, and I were sitting on the rocks. It's on the beach overlooking the lake. And that night, I promise, is the night that Jesus came into my heart. That is the night that my life was surrendered to him. And that night, I slept with such a sweet sleep that even to this day, many years later, even to this day, I think, boy, if I could sleep like that again. Wow. What an amazing day. See, it's our own relationship with Christ. It's what you have to do for yourself. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So, now it's your turn. You have to prepare for your mission. You have a mission. I don't know what your mission is. You're going to be going to work this week. You've got kids to raise. You've got grandchildren around. You've got neighbors to not fight with. I totally get it. What's your mission? Here at Mount Zion Christian School, we're preparing for life, for service, and for eternity. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. If you go out the hall down this way, there's a big dinosaur on the wall. Let me tell you how it was made. The first and second graders were given 1-inch squares with a line or two or three on it. And then they were given about a 9-inch square and said, now copy the lines so that they look like they're in the same places on this. Not one of them knew what they were building. Not one of them had an idea of what the end game was. And I believe that that's a lot how the body of Christ is. We all serve a purpose, every single one of us. What's your purpose? See, these kids had to draw these lines not knowing, and then they glued them together. And they made a dinosaur, because that's what they were studying in science. See, I might be the little toe or the back of the elbow, but God has a plan. You ready to do your part? Will you do it for the glory of God? So, why is Mount Zion in existence? It's for the glory of God. And only for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to work here at Mount Zion Christian School. I thank you that we get to, Father, teach these kids every day. That, Lord, we can impress on their hearts the importance of eternity and their relationship with you. Lord, I pray for the parents in the room today. I ask, Lord, that you'd be with them. Help them to raise up their kids in a way that's pleasing and honorable and to glorify you. Lord, I pray for the students, the ones represented here at the church, the ones that are represented in the school, that they will give their all to you, that they will do everything for the glory of God. Father, I thank you for this body here at Mount Zion and the support that we get from them to carry out your work, to training up your kids, to training up your people, whether it be at the Mount Zion House or at the children's ministries on Sundays and even Wednesdays or at the school. Lord, I pray that the body of Christ throughout this nation would get a hold of a new revival, a flame that would just spread everywhere, and that we would all do everything for the glory of God. Father, I thank you for the staff here at Mount Zion, the teachers who pour out daily, the office people and the pastors, for everybody who pours out on the people that you've provided here. Lord, I ask that you'd watch over them. Keep us healthy. Keep us strong. Keep us going for you. Father, I pray especially for the board at Mount Zion Christian School. I thank you for them, for giving them vision and wisdom in leading your school in a way that you want it to go. And I am so grateful that they made me sit down and ask why. Because it's for your glory, and I thank you for that. Father, I ask that you pour out your vision for this church and this school, that we would go forward in a way that is glorifying and honoring to you. I thank you so much, Father God, for giving people with vision a place here that we can talk and learn and grow, and that we'll be able to serve people, your people, for your glory. And Lord, I'd ask that you would help us all to draw closer to you, that we would all develop a deeper relationship with you, a personal relationship with you. And that, Lord, we would be able to bring glory to you in all we do. Amen. If you have questions about the school, if you want more information, there's people out in the back, there's pamphlets. I'm going to be up here if you have questions. I'd love it if we could go and live our lives for the glory of God. Have a good week.